Hey, 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 listeners, Irenia here. I'm super excited to have a conversation with Brett Simpson, living in Kansas City. He is actually my first guest from Kansas City. In this episode, we really focus around aligning teams. And of course, we talk a little bit about our culture, and he gives some advice to individuals who are in the middle of their career pivots. And of course, all that jazz that makes his life so exciting. So I believe that you are going to enjoy this episode. To listeners dropping by for the first time, if you find a golden nugget in this episode, send me a message via Twitter or Instagram. And of course, to my loyal listeners, do so as well. And let's get into this conversation. Welcome to At Live with Irenia. Today, I'm very excited to have with me Brett J. Simpson. He is the Managing Director of Elevate Simply. Welcome, Brett.
Thank you, Irenia. It's great to be here.
I am super excited to have you here because I know that you're going to share some super golden nuggets with our listeners. And to you, my listeners, thank you so much for tuning into this dial. And to those of you who are tuning in for the first time, welcome. You're in for a treat. Brett is a serial entrepreneur and innovator. He's also an investor and an advisor and board member to many startups and equity stage companies. At Elevate Simply, his company, a strategic leadership consultancy, he has accountability for strategy, operations, product, finance, and delivery capabilities. Brett is the creator of Align Well, a strategic insight and C-suite alignment analyzer tool, which we'll be diving into this conversation. But first, let's hear a little bit of Brett's backstory. Over to you, Brett.
Thanks, Irenia. I really appreciate it again. It's nice to be here. So, you know, my story starts, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. Dad worked for Ford Motor Company. So that was a great start. From there, I went to university in Iowa and then graduate school in Illinois. And then out of graduate school, I went to work for Accenture, which is a global consulting company. And so really enjoyed my time there. Got to work at many different clients all over the United States, which is where I live. And that really helped frame my career and what I do today. And so since that time, I've been, as you mentioned, an entrepreneur several times over. I've been an investor and worked at companies large and small. And so have really enjoyed my time doing that. A lot of lessons learned, some mistakes along the way, but also some successes. And so I'm very pleased with that. I have two daughters, both in college right now. So that also keeps us busy.
Awesome. Welcome, Brett. And I know that you have some connections to Canada.
I do. Yes. My wife is Canadian, born in BC. And so my daughters, even though they were born in the States, because their mother is Canadian, they have dual citizenship. So we are up in BC frequently and really love that area.
Fabulous. As you know, I'm located in New Brunswick, which is on the opposite end.
Yes.
So in your life, you've experienced a lot in business. You've met a lot of different people. How have mentors impacted your journey to date?
I wouldn't be where I am without mentors, really. And the way that I look at mentors is there are formal mentors and informal mentors, and both can be valuable. But for me, it's really been those informal mentors, meaning not necessarily the ones that were, quote, assigned to me if I was working at a company at a time, but just those people that I've had a chance to interact with, that I admire, that I learn from, that have just come to me and offered and said, hey, Brett, and given me advice or been a sounding board or a confidant. And so I hope to be a mentor to others like mentors have been to me. So very powerful.
Very much so. That's awesome. Brett, we all have highs and we all have lows in life. Is there a pivotal moment in your life where you've had an epic fail in business? And how did you overcome it?
Yes, there, there are more than one. There are several to choose from. But I would say the one that really jumps into my mind right now is after I left Accenture, I bought a soccer retail store here in Kansas City, Missouri, which is where I live. And you know, I had grown up playing soccer. My daughters both grew up playing soccer. And so I was a big soccer fan and thought that buying a soccer store would be a good idea. And it turns out that it was not a great idea for a variety of reasons. And so that was a very expensive lesson. I lost a lot of money. I lost a lot of time. It was in terms of opportunity cost of income. And so, you know, the reason that it failed was there were a variety of reasons, not the least of which was I was completely unprepared. And so I had not done that before. It's not something that, you know, many of the people in my family had ever done before or in my close friend group. It was really taking a leap of faith and it just happened to not work out. Right now I look back and I think, oh gosh, I wouldn't trade that experience because I learned a lot. I made a lot of good relationships out of that. Like I said, I did lose a lot of money and time, but in the end, I feel like the positives outweigh the negatives in terms of what I learned and what I got back from that experience, both learning what I like to do and learning what I don't like to do, learning what I'm good at and what I'm not good at.
So you were a pioneer in your family doing this. And, you know, I really like that you said, you know, you took some lessons out of it. So in going forward and in building your next business, what are some of the lessons you carried with you from that epic fail?
That's a good question. And so I would say a couple of the biggest lessons are make sure that when you're going into business, if you're an entrepreneur and you're going into business, that you surround yourself with a complete team. The team that we had in place didn't have the skill sets that we needed, myself included. And so it wasn't that any of us were bad or incompetent or anything like that. We just didn't have the complete skill set and experience that we really needed to run an operation like that and to take on that sort of business. The other thing was we were really underfunded. We had enough money to launch the business, to not only buy the business from the previous owner and to start it off, but we didn't have enough money or enough foresight at the beginning to project how much money we would need in order to take the business forward. And so I'd say team and capital were the two biggest lessons learned at that time for me that I have taken forward in the businesses that I've been a part of since then.
With that lesson, you know, of team, having a great team and having, you know, a runway of money, what are you currently focused on right now?
So what we're focused on right now is helping teams align themselves better, specifically aligning senior leaders in times of change. Now, this is something that we started about 15 months ago. So, you know, obviously we're in the midst of the COVID pandemic right now. And so there's massive change happening at the economy level, the global economy level, local economy level, industries, and within companies. And so this is something, although we had started it, like I said, a year and a half ago, this is something that is especially critical right now, is making sure that everybody is on the same page, rowing in the same direction at the same pace. And so where that really came from was, in my experience over the last 20 plus years in consulting and working in companies, big and small, being an investor, being an advisor, and so forth, I noticed this lack of leadership alignment in in all sorts of companies. And so created this tool, it's an assessment tool called AlignWell. And so work with CEOs and their teams of all size of companies. And what we do is we work on exposing those perceptions and the biases anonymously of the entire leadership team so that it gives the CEO as well as the rest of the C-suite team insight into where is everybody's head at? Because right now everybody's focused on their own job, right? They've been given a task to do or multiple tasks and that's what they're doing. I know I'm oversimplifying it, but what I've found is that CEOs and C-suite leaders are in lonely positions. Those roles are very isolating when it comes to the accountability and responsibility that they have. And so it's not a matter of, you know, when there's misalignment in a senior leadership team, it's not necessarily about incompetence or them not paying attention. It's about just bringing into focus all of the disparate activity that is happening around the organization and making sure that we're all aligned around where do we need to go, why, and how do we get there. So that's what we're doing right now, is really focused on working with C-level teams on alignment.
So Brett, how often do you think companies need to do this, like, you know, with the top executives?
Sure. So what we do is, depending on the type of company and kind of the disposition of where they're at right now, every 6 or 12 months is when we administer the AlignWell tool with our clients, just depending on what their appetite is and where they're at kind of in their change journey. The more, you know, change management is a huge topic right now. And it's been growing over time, but right now is especially key. And so being able to align these senior leaders now in this time of change is critical. And so what we found specifically at this point in time is at the beginning of this year, say January 2020, most companies, you know, they had their strategy and they were moving towards it. Well, 2 months later, all of that was thrown into chaos. So I would be surprised if there were many, if any, companies out there that are still doing the exact same thing in the exact same way that they were doing even 6 months ago. No one really could have predicted this change, and the change has been enormous in the way that it's impacted business models, the way we work, who we work with, how we work, and even supply chains. And so just being able to do this on a frequent and regular basis is important. And one of the reasons that we do that is because we have algorithms built into our tool that allow us to track progress and regression over time. And so again, that's why we get back to the every 6 months or every 12 months, just to take a checkpoint and measure, hey, how aligned are we? Where are we with things? And that way we don't, if you do it any less frequently than that, what we have found is that companies tend to get off track and lose focus, and there's too many areas that are focused. And so what this allows us to do is work with these senior leadership teams and bring things back into focus, priorities, goals, and objectives.
So Brett, with all of the priorities, goals and objectives, you know, companies are really getting laser focused on using this tool. We know that there's a lot of talk about, you know, leading with purpose, right? And also paying close attention with teams. Mm-hmm. So how does, you know, the alignment of leadership help with organizational culture?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things, so the assessment tool covers leadership development, it covers culture, diversity, and many, many other topics as well. And so one of the things that we have found is that, you know, a lot of focus in companies is on sales, marketing, product, you know, the things that are seen as, you know, the most visible externally. But what we find when we do this assessment is the craving by the individuals, even at the senior leadership level, to say, we cannot forget purpose. We cannot forget the basic blocking and tackling of leadership development in our business infrastructure, in our relationships. And what we found over the last few months when we're doing this with clients is an even greater need to focus on the people. It's interesting. I think when you talk to people now and you ask the question, how are you? You know, in the past, a lot of times you'd get a quick answer and you'd almost hope for a quick answer just to move on with the conversation. But what I have found recently is that now it sounds like people really mean it. They want to hear, how are you? Because there's been so much change. And the other thing, last thing I'll say about to answer this question about culture is the renewed focus on culture is important, because since we've gone to this work from home model for those folks that can work from home in these businesses, that's given people a lot more time to think about the organizations that they're a part of and saying, is this a place I want to be? Now, maybe in the short term, there's not a lot, you know, unemployment is high, there's not a lot of opportunity. But in the long term, what's interesting, and I think that we'll see this, is there are going to be a lot of folks that say, hey, how did the company treat me during this time? And is this a place that I want to be long-term? So that focus on people and culture is just super important, Irina.
I absolutely agree. Because, you know, as employees of organizations, you know, individuals typically, you know, bring themselves to work. Right. And there's a concept of bringing your full self to work. But of course, we have to have a professional demeanor. Mm-hmm. What this current time has done, you know, between the Zoom virtual meetings and other means of communication, you know, it has exposed what happens in the background, right? Whether it's, you know, having our pets show up on a call, or kids interrupt, or, you know, an elderly person that one is taking care of, right? A lot of the personal side is now revealed. The curtain has been pulled back. And one of the biggest questions is, do we go back to what it used to be, or do we take the full person as they are?
Great question. I love what you said about the curtain having been pulled back. I hadn't heard that before, and I think that's a great way to put it. I don't think we do go back. I think we were on a trajectory of change anyway, despite COVID. I think COVID accelerated that immensely. And what I mean by we were on that before is I'm a Gen X person. My daughters are Gen Z, but in between there, you've got the millennials. And one of the things I appreciate about the millennial generation is my observation was they had started to really create and almost enforce a change in the workplace to be more purpose-driven, which is one of the words or terms you used a little bit ago, yeah. But also to be more focused on the people, the person, the work-life balance, and so forth. And so the fact that that has even been accelerated even further because of COVID, I don't think we're going to have we're not going to regress in that perspective. I think we will continue to progress. I don't think we have seen the end of the change, because we have not seen the end or even a reasonable mitigation of COVID yet. I don't think that happens until there's a vaccine. But it will be interesting to see what comes out of that. But I think the focus on the person is going to continue to gain momentum and will really be a differentiator in terms of where people want to work going forward, how they want to work, and those companies that are successful in the future.
Absolutely. And human capital is so important to the success of every single business. So definitely companies need to be looking at that very, very closely going forward. You know, yes. We talk about work-life balance. So let's get a little bit personal. You know, how do you integrate work-life balance into your day as a business person?
I think you have to maintain a schedule. You have to maintain boundaries. I have, for the last several years, my office is my home office, and then I traveled 100,000 miles a year to my client sites. And so, you know, if I'm out, whether I'm local or whether I was on a plane somewhere, haven't been on a plane in months, but whether that was happening, I still had to take time for myself. And so that, whether that's at the beginning of your day and you're saying, okay, here's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to, for me, it's getting up. I like to exercise, and that can take several different forms. Hopefully that involves some aspect of getting outside and not just in the gym. But then also taking some time at the end of the day to decompress. And so getting away from my screens is big for me. And so that could be if when possible, having a meal with my family or meals with my family, just having conversations with my daughters to see what's going on with them, but also reading a lot. I love reading historical biographies of historical figures. Mm-hmm. And that really, you know, it changes the direction of, instead of having, you know, my laptop, my phone, all these devices that are always on and always receiving input and messages, I think it's that. And so I think establishing a schedule where you're not in front of, if you work with a computer a lot or a device, where you're not in front of that all the time is just ultra critical. And that's even true of students. We tell the same things to our daughters, is to say, look, you've got to, you know, it is important that you have time away from your devices, which they know and they observe, but it gets harder and harder sometimes.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. How does music play a role in setting your mood?
I love music. My daughters don't like the music that I like. I have a wide variety of taste, and I don't mind the music that they listen to. I kind of like it, but I've got a hobby of just doing some work down in my basement on a couple different things. And so I'll play my 80s music on Pandora, which I like, 90s music. And so it just, what it does for me is there's this calm, music in general, there's this calming effect. Yeah. And so, and also I find that I do a lot of good thinking when I'm not at work, when I'm not doing work, but I'm listening to music and relaxing. It also just frees my mind up to think. And I have, I mean, in my own opinion, that's when some of my really good ideas happen.
Awesome. I love it. And, you know, you alluded to the work that you're doing, you know, in terms of pre-COVID, you were on the plane, you were meeting your clients where they are. Mm-hmm. How have you pivoted and adjusted in working with your clients now virtually?
The difference for me has been, it's not like I'm unique in this, but obviously we've gotten to a lot more Zoom meetings. Now, yes. one of the things that I was fortunate with is even last summer, a year ago, I was doing Zoom meetings with clients, because one of the options is, hey, if you don't want to pay for my travel to come see you, great, let's just do this over Zoom. And so we had started doing it back then just to, you know, get things to happen quicker. So it's not me getting on a plane, spending the night in a hotel, incurring cost, you know, that kind of thing. If you can, you know, you can really speed things up if you can just meet over video. So fortunately, we had kind of proven the model out of doing that back then. Mm-hmm. Today, though, obviously it's a necessity. And so what has been nice is a validation, and it was unintentional. Obviously, I had no idea that this was coming. The foresight was in no way related to COVID. It was just it was an ease of process. And so everything that we do mm-hmm. already was online. And so whether we deliver the report in person, which I prefer to do, because I like being in front of people and I like having that interpersonal interaction where you can read body language, you can, you know, back when we could shake hands and do that kind of thing, I prefer that. But it's possible to do it this way as well. And we've been doing that for a little over a year.
That is awesome. And, you know, with the remote work now, which of course is more intense compared to before, based on the virtual interaction, how do you continue to build that tight-knit relationship with your clients?
I think for me, it's been through a little bit deeper conversations. You know, and so whereas in the past, there was always that known, oh, we can get together physically if we really wanted to, or we actually do get together. You know, even then it would be a little bit of chit chat, small talk, and then we get right to business. Whereas now what I'm finding is people want to spend a little bit more time, not a lot, but just a handful of minutes more than usual, just talking, getting to know you or catching up, seeing how things are going. And so really that's what I think it is. I don't think for me, I haven't come to the end of what that is going to look like going forward.
Yeah.
In terms of having it totally resolved, but that's been my experience to date, is a little bit more on the personal side. Like you mentioned, if we're on a call and, you know, we see kids in the background or a pet or something like that. In the past, you know, 6 months ago, we might've been like, oh boy, that seems a little bit unprofessional, or, you know what I mean? Something like that. But now it's, it's totally expected. It doesn't faze us at all. And so there's that more human element to it, which I enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. That's awesome. Brett, what advice do you have for businesses who are struggling to pivot right now?
Irene, I think this is really where alignment of that leadership team comes into play, is to say pivoting should not be the domain of just one person. And if it is, then you're not utilizing all the resources you have at your disposal. And so one of the things that we have found is that by getting, you know, using our AlignWell tool, of course, I'm going to go back to that. But what that does is it gets feedback from everybody. It gets opportunities, risk, ideas, even the biases and perceptions, so that when senior leadership teams are looking at, hey, we need to make a change, we need to pivot in some way, rather than just leaving that up to one, two, or three people, if you have input from the rest of the team, you're going to make a better decision. I mean, this goes back to everything we've been reading over the last months and even a couple of years about the value of diversity on boards, about the value of diversity when creating strategy, is making that strategy more inclusive, meaning including more people at various levels and so forth, is what is going to set those companies apart that are going to exit this better off than those who can't make that pivot because they're too limiting in the thought process that they're going through. And so really that's what we're finding, is the more that you involve, we're not getting into a total democracy here where every single person in the company has a vote. I'm not suggesting that at all. But what I am suggesting is saying, make sure that you're using the talents and the ideas of those leaders that you do have in the company, because this is a time when you need to leverage everything that you can to see where is it that we need to go.
I love this. That's a super golden nugget, listeners. You know, utilizing the talents and ideas of the individuals across the board, having that inclusivity is just so important, you know, for business success. Brett, we've talked about a variety of things, you know, your big career pivots in the beginning, your leadership alignment tool, AlignWell, you know, and with that, we have a lot of people who've been followed, a lot of people who are rethinking, as you alluded to earlier, you know, how did the company treat me in this time? Mm-hmm. You know, so what advice would you have for individuals who are thinking that way in terms of choosing their next pivot?
Well, that's a good question. I think, you know, everybody has to understand their own risk tolerance. And so, you know, do you leave a place before you have something else lined up? Do you really need to leave that place? You know, and I guess, you know, for me, it would be a series of questions. I'm a very process-minded person. And so, you know, it would be a series of questions to say, how do I feel that I'm being treated today? Was I being treated that way, or did I feel that way prior to COVID? Because obviously COVID impacted everybody. Leaders are panicking, not all of them, but leaders are under a different type of stress than they've ever been under before. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not absolving the leaders of all responsibility, but what I'm saying is there must be some rational recognition that things have changed. And so if the leader's responsibility is for the going concernness of the organization, maybe that's part of it. Now, it's not forgiving any or all missteps that may have been taken. But if you've had these feelings since pre-COVID, then maybe there's something more to them. Now, since COVID, we kind of see how people have reacted in the wake of a pandemic, of a huge catastrophic event. And so, you know, I think every individual is different, but I would say do your research, turn that and look inside yourself to see what's important to me. Is it money? Is it work-life balance? Is it the type of work that I do? Is it the purpose of the organization that I work with? Is it how valued I feel? I mean, it's probably some combination of most or all of those. And where do I think I can get that? Because the grass isn't always greener, but, you know, I would venture to say that now in the work from home environment, for those who can do that, there's opportunity to explore. And what you may find is, hey, where I'm at is a great place, and this is the place to be, and I've enjoyed that kind of a thing. And it may be something, and I'll say it like this, even though it's a little bit flippant, it may be as simple as, I would like a new role or a modified role in my existing organization. And having that conversation with the person that you work with, work for, whatever. So it's not just about leaving a company. I'm not proposing that everybody needs to up and leave, but it's a good reflection time.
Super golden nugget again, Brett. Love your wisdom. Talking about wisdom, if there is one key takeaway throughout this whole episode you want my listeners to take with them, what would that be?
I heard this at a graduation speech one time, a high school graduation we were at for my niece, and I heard the speaker say this, and it really resonated with me, which is be nice and work hard. It sounds oversimplistic, but really that's what it's about. Is people want to be around people that are nice. People want to be around people that work hard. And if we can fill our organizations with people who are nice and work hard, then I think we've done ourselves some good justice.
Wow, is it? Thank you so much, Brett. I believe that there are so many golden nuggets in this episode. I really appreciate you coming on and having this really candid conversation with me. If my listeners wanted to continue the conversation with you, how would they connect?
I'm on LinkedIn, Brett Simpson, and at Elevate Simply. So, and my email address is brett@elevatesimply.com. So simple as that.
Thank you so much once again, Brett.
Thank you, Irina. This has been wonderful. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
Me too. Awesome. Listeners, I'm preparing this fantastic community for you, a community where we can gather, collide, share our ideas, and support each other. I have a lot of plans for you. You are simply going to enjoy the Live with Irina community. It's coming soon. I will be sharing more in future episodes. Hang on to your seats because we are going to have so much fun. Listeners, I hope you thoroughly enjoyed this conversation because I sure did. I just have one ask of you. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, head on over to your favorite player of choice and subscribe. If you find a golden nugget in the episode, share it with a friend Don't let this knowledge stay with you. We want to spread this knowledge all over the world to empower others to take action in their life and career journey. I just want to say thank you for stopping by on this dial, and I hope that you find your new vibe.